For the director of music of David, a petition. Hasten, O Lord, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May those who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. But may all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great, but as for me, I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. Lord, do not delay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see everybody this morning. Visitors, we're glad that you're here. As always, got some college guys with us today. Glad to have them, and glad to have y'all with us. Want to remind you that if you need an attended nursery, that we have one, our nursery. If you want to use that, certainly don't have to, but you're welcome to use that any or all of the service. And it's back to my right, right through the search door. You see, by design, when we built this building, when we were checking around, one of the folks told us there's three things people need to see when they come in your building: the restrooms and the nursery. And so if you notice when you come in our door, the restrooms and nursery are all visible. So those are there if you need to use those. I want us to think for a moment and to remember for a moment. And we're going to have a special prayer in just a moment, that today is September the 11th. And for those of us who are old enough to remember, it is a day that we probably remember extremely well, the events of 9/11, the falling of the towers and the plane going into the Pentagon. And then, as you know, the plane that was taken down by the passengers in Pennsylvania and the lives that were lost by the thousands and the real change it made in our country. For those of you who are younger, you really live in a different country than we were before 9/11, 2001, from a security standpoint, and just lots of things are different. And it was a major attack on our shores. And again, there are lots of families whose lives were changed. Certainly thousands lost their lives, and then those families have dealt with that loss. And many of those certainly died as the planes attacked and were trapped in the building. But many of those who lost their lives or were affected because they voluntarily went in to help others and gave their lives. And what a tremendous gift that is when someone would give their life for someone else. So I want to bow and have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Father and Almighty God, as we come before you on this day of remembrance, Father, we're thankful for this nation in which we live, and for the way that you have and continue to bless us. Father, I pray that we have a growing faith and trust in you, Father, that will reflect itself in the joy of life, and that our lives would be lived in a way that you would be honored and glorified and served. Father, we remember today the attacks on our country of September 11th, and Father, we are prayerful and thankful for those who lost their lives, and especially those who gave their lives in service to their fellow man. Father, we honor their memories. Father, we pray your blessings on those families that lost loved ones on that tragic day. And Father, we pray a continuing blessing and peace upon them and upon those families. Father, for those who serve daily in our military and in our law enforcement, and our emergency services, Father, we are thankful for them and pray your blessing upon them as well. And for those who have died or given of their health for freedom and for our nation, we're thankful for them and pray your blessing upon them as well. Father, help us to live as good citizens, remembering the sacrifice through the years that has allowed us to be here. Father, help us to live not only as good citizens of our country, but as great citizens of the kingdom, knowing that truly it is you who bless us and provide us with all that we need. For that, we are thankful to you. And again, thankful for those through whom you have used to bless all of us. Help us to remember. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk about remembrance today for a moment and about what that means to us and what that means to us today and what it means to us as we live our lives and look in the days ahead. Because, and I've kind of shared this theme, but it's certainly, I think, true and has been true for some time. So this is really not a new lesson, but it just seemed like an appropriate lesson today for us to talk about. And there is no doubt that there is a frustration and a fear and confusion maybe in our country, maybe in the whole world, in our culture today. And I want us to kind of deal with that because I'm not sure many of us are sure where we're headed and are only sure that the direction in which we are going is concerning. Is that a fair statement about that? There is real confusion and fear and anxiety, if you will, that's showing itself in so many ways. I think it's showing itself at the ballot box. I think it's showing itself in protests in the streets. It is showing itself in individuals that we never thought would be targeted, being targeted for violence in our culture. And I want to talk a little bit about why that is and kind of minimally about that, and then talk about what can you and I do about that. Because I think the great frustration for many of us is there's not really anything that I can do about that. It is so much larger than I am, and I'm really not in a position to make a difference. And I want to argue with you today or talk with you today that is not a truth. That the truth is that you and I can do a tremendous amount to make a difference. A tremendous amount that can make a difference. And I would argue with you that you and I can probably make more difference than anybody else in the world can make a difference. That you and I can make more of a difference than anybody else in the world can make. And I'm not talking about because of the personnel who might fill certain positions. Just the position that we find ourselves in can make a greater difference than anybody else. I don't say that lightly, so stay with me. Stay with me, because this is important. And you won't hear it in the drive-by media, the mainstream media. You won't hear it because they don't believe it and they don't understand it. But this is the truth. David is the man after God's own heart. Remember that? David is the man who God says, this is a man after my own heart. This is a man who knows my heart. Now, we already know David has struggles. David is not a perfect man. But that's what God says of David. And so as we read the Psalms, and as Wilma read for us from the 70th Psalm this morning, and we can read it in multiple Psalms, David struggles. David struggles in life with his own internal struggles. And David struggles in life because he is a military and a political leader with adversaries. We get that, right? If you are a military or a political leader, you're going to have adversaries. I don't care how good a military or political leader you are, you're going to have adversaries. And David's adversaries, especially at times, weighed on him heavily. And you see it in the Psalms that David is struggling because there are those who are opposed to him. But who does David continually go to in those struggles? Who is his fortress, his rock, his foundation? It is God, right? Why does David fear no evil? Because God is with him. Remember that? David asked God for protection from his enemies and for God to bless him because David understood the most important of facts, and it's the one I want us to make sure we understand this morning. It is God who blesses us. It is God who protects us. It is God who delivers us. And as long as we walk with God and are about God's business, God will bless us. Now, are there struggles in the life of Christians and of people of the kingdom? This is a really important question. This is a really important question. I want to kind of deal with that as we move forward. Because if you misunderstand what I'm trying to say, or misunderstand what the Scripture teaches, when we talk about the blessings of God, there is a frustration that comes that says, well, I'm trying to walk in the light, I'm trying to be what God wants me to be, but these things are happening to me. Maybe personally or around us in the larger sense. Maybe it's sickness, maybe it's death, maybe it's trouble in our jobs, maybe it's trouble in our families, maybe it's cultural problems, whatever those issues are. Matthew 24, Jesus will talk about difficult times that are coming. And they're going to come on everyone. But here's what he says. For the sake of the elect, those times will be cut short. They will be shortened. Now, is he saying the times won't be difficult, or that they won't be difficult even for those of the kingdom? It's not what he says, but he says God is mindful of his people and he will shorten those times so that we can survive them. That's what he says. Because without that, there wouldn't be survival. Read it, Matthew 24:22. That they would be shortened. When Abraham gets word about the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah, you remember? The Lord and the angels come and there's a discussion about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah for their evil. And that Abraham discusses with the Lord about sparing Sodom and Gomorrah. And for what reason would God spare Sodom and Gomorrah? To which he agrees to do. For the sake of the righteous, right? For the sake of the righteous. The problem in Sodom and Gomorrah was there were no righteous. They were all unrighteous. But God was willing, for the sake of the righteous, to spare Sodom and Gomorrah from the destruction that was coming. That for the sake of God's people, things are changed. God was willing to spare those cities. For the sake of the righteous, nations are blessed. For God's people, God shortens times. He makes things better. Because it is God who is in charge. Romans 13 is very clear that governments rise and fall because God puts them there. Even Babylonian and Assyrian kings who were far from good were in power because God put them there. Because God put them there. And God used them to bring an awakening to his people and to deliver his people when the time was appropriate. But who was in charge of that? God was. Let's talk about memorials. Do you remember when the people of God would cross on dry ground, when God delivered them into the land of promise and out of the land of Egypt? You remember those? What, they would build monuments. Remember that? It took some build monuments, memorials. Why? So that when your children pass by and say, why are those rocks there? Why is that monument there? You can tell them what God has done for you. It is a remembrance of what God has done. And the thought is, and the teaching is, and the fact is, that God continues to bring deliverance for his people. God continues to bring deliverance for his people. It is God who is in charge. That's important for us to realize. And it is really important for us to realize that God not only is in charge in heaven, but God is in charge on the earth as well. Because for many of us, even as Christians, there is a ready acknowledgement that God is Lord of heaven, but there is maybe a conscious or at least a subconscious thought, but God really doesn't bother Himself in the affairs of man. Is that a fair statement? And I'm going to be honest with you. That's where the mainstream of our culture will find itself. That's why I said this won't ever be reported in the mainstream media. Because the concept is, if there is a God, and I would tell you that maybe many of them would believe that there is a God, but in their vocation or maybe even in their thoughts, and this is culture-wide, not just some group that's forcing this down our throat, that if there is a God, He is involved in what kind of matters? Spiritual matters. God is concerned about spiritual matters. And so we will keep God in the spiritual realm dealing with spiritual matters, and the rest of us will deal in the earthly realm. That's not biblical. You will not read that in the biblical text. You will not see that principle in the biblical text, because these memorials are not about all the spiritual things that God has done, but they're about what God has done for His people where? In the physical realm. The waters of the Red Sea and the Jordan River did not part symbolically as a spiritual thing. These are not metaphors for a spiritual parting into the Red Sea, into the Promised Land. These are actual physical events that occurred in the lives of God's people. Nebuchadnezzar was a real king. Okay? That affected God's people. The Assyrians were real. The Medo-Persians were real. The Roman Empire, as you know, was real. And all of those God used directing His people and bringing about His truths. And all of those are activities in the physical world, because God is involved. David was not just praying for eternal deliverance. David was praying for God to care for him and bless him and lead him in the world in which he was living. Because God is concerned, and not only is He concerned, He's effective. He's effective. So as God's people, where do we need to trust? In God. The God of heaven, who is as powerful today as He has ever been. Okay? God is as powerful as He has ever been. And as powerful as He was in the past to deliver His people, He is still powerful. As just as He was in the past, He is still just. As benevolent as He was in the past, He is still benevolent. And for the sake of the righteous, God changes things. God blesses peoples and cultures because of the righteous. We need to know that. So, knowing that God is alive and involved in the world in which we live and involved in the lives of His people, and we remember the parting of the Red Sea, we remember the crossing of the Jordan, we remember the walls of the city of Jericho falling. Remember that? Remember that God delivered His people with Gideon? Remember Gideon? Gideon, the great, brave general with overwhelming forces. If you're not all that familiar with the story, none of those things are true. None of those things are true. You remember, it's down to 300 men that God uses, not thousands. Because what did God want them to remember? Who was giving the victory? God was giving the victory, right? God was giving the victory. Why did they not use battle rams at Jericho? Because God wanted them to understand without doubt that it was He who brought the walls of the city down. Because for those engineers and engineer types in our audience, of which there are several, pretty sure in engineering you don't talk about building walls that can withstand marching an arc around it and blowing a trumpet. That's not normally great danger to walls. Is that fair? But what brought the walls down? Israel marching around with the ark blowing trumpets. Well, we know that it wasn't the marching around or the number of times they marched that brought down. Who brought the walls down? God did. It was God who did it. And so the same God who has always delivered his people is the same God who will deliver us. And so instead of being distressed, what should we be? Faithful and dependent on God, right? Who was in charge 100 years ago? God was. Who was in charge 200 years ago? God was. Who was in charge in 1941 to 1945? God, right? The same God who's in charge today. And the God who has delivered his people in antiquity is the same God who delivers his people today. So it's important that we walk in God's ways and trust in him. And we don't have to worry about the future for this reason. Because we don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. Our Father's in charge. Now, how much better does it get than that? How much better does it get than that? Our Father's in charge. So what difference can you and I make? Well, one, trust in God. Trust in God and acknowledge that he is involved in our lives and the lives of his people. And find comfort in that. Find comfort. Find a peace in that. It's distressing to me when some of my Christian friends worry about everything. About everything. About everything. In fact, I teased one of my friends the other day when we were talking about something, and this person said, well, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. I said, well, then you can just move one more up. I just said it. Because you're going to keep a full list, so if you slide one off, just slide that next one up. I don't know what it's going to be, but you're going to just slide another one up. We're going to worry about something else. And sometimes that's our personalities, isn't it? But as Christians, what do we need to do instead of worrying? Trust in God, right? And walk in his ways. And if you and I really want to make a difference, of which we can, not only should we trust in God, but we have to be about teaching the truths of God to those who are around us. Jesus changed the whole world. Right? Shake your head this way. Jesus changed the whole world. For those who believe in him or don't believe in him, Jesus changed the whole world. The world is very different than had Jesus not lived. And we've heard the saying, you know, he never held a political office. He never held a military role. He never brought a great discovery except teaching us the truths of God. And he trained 12 apostles to carry on the work, right? Not hundreds of thousands, he changed 12. And there were some other disciples. But 12 men were trained, and literally in just a couple of decades turned the whole world upside down. Turned the whole world upside down. The known world was completely changed because of Jesus and those disciples. So this thought and concept that I'm too insignificant to make a difference. There's over 100 of us here this morning. Just in this one place. I'm not talking about all up and down the road and all across our country and all across the world on this first day of the week. There's 9 times as many of us here as Jesus had apostles. And they changed the world. We can make a difference in our community, in our world, in significant ways. We are not outnumbered. And guess what? If we want to go around the world, and not all of us are called to that, but if we want to go around the world, we don't have to get a ship and spend all winter somewhere waiting to get our destination, right? 18 hours will put us, I guess, almost anywhere. And I'm not sure about that. But 18 hours will get us awfully close to being anywhere we need to be, right? But here's the great thing. That right there, we can be around the world almost instantaneously, right? Through the internet. We can talk to folks just like they were next door. All across our country, really all across the world where there is service. We can talk to people all over the world. So the opportunity is great. But I don't want to just think about the world. Look at the difference we can make right at home, right in our own communities, if we get excited about serving God and following Him and teaching His truths. And I'm going to be real honest with you. I don't really want us to get all excited about that because of all of the stresses geopolitically that go on around us. I really like for us to get excited about that because we're concerned about those around us who are lost and don't know Jesus. Folks who are around us that we work with, within our families, within our community, that we know and love, who don't know Jesus. Or if they know Jesus, they've never made the decision to be children of God and to give their lives to God. And if we could get excited about that, it's not about forcing people. It's just about lovingly encouraging and teaching people about God and about His Son Jesus. And in doing that, we will save the lost from death. And we will change the world. Change the world. I think the only way the world can be changed is one life at a time. One life at a time. We won't do it with a new media network. We won't do it by changing the White House, and we'll make some impact. We can throw all the dogs out and elect new ones. We've been talking about that for the last 40 years. Let's talk about it some more. But if you really want to make a difference, it's about one life at a time, bringing people to the truth of God and His Son Jesus, and knowing that it is God who protects us, it is God who delivers us, it is God who cares and provides for every need that we have. And we should have no fear as children of God, because God prepares for us, and that when tough times come, God will be with us. And that we just need to be about His business, and that our whole world will be blessed because of the people of God. And I believe that with all of my heart, that the whole world will be blessed because of the people of God. And we just need to be God's people about God's business, sharing the good news about salvation through His Son and eternal life. Eternal life. It is God who blesses. We remember the sacrifices of lives on this day, and those who have sacrificed militarily, and the struggle that is there. Because David had enemies, didn't he? It's important for us to remember. David had enemies. They were not imagined. They were real. And David knew he would always have enemies. But what was his prayer? That God would protect him and prosper him in spite of his enemies. That should be our prayer. There will always be enemies of the cross. There will always be enemies of God's people. Jesus told us that, right? Should be no shock or surprise to us. But protection and deliverance and blessings come from God. It will not be the superiority of our technology or of our culture or of our system. It will be about depending on God, who is the source of all of our blessings, who is our rock and our fortress. So today, in this day of remembrance, let's remember those who sacrificed, but let's also remember the one who delivers us. And let's be thankful to God and trust in Him and look forward to the future that God holds. And let's be excited as God's people about the good news that has been entrusted to us, the good news of deliverance and salvation through Jesus Christ. And by teaching about Jesus and the truths of God, again, we will save souls from being lost, and we will change the whole world. We have more power to do it than any other group or organization. God's people, by doing God's business, can change the world. Each one of our lives have been changed by Jesus Christ. Each one of our lives have been changed by Jesus. Our futures are different because of Jesus. Our hope is different because of Jesus. And I hope today that as we take this feast, that we will remember Jesus and all that He's done for us. If you're not a child of God, Jesus has died to change your world, to change your life. He died for each one of us. And if you've not named Jesus as Lord and been washed in His blood in the waters of baptism, we'd encourage you to do that today. Because through Jesus, we have the promise of the blessings of God and eternal life. For those of us who are Christians, let's renew our joy and our confidence in Him. But maybe you need to come today. Maybe you need prayers of this congregation of our shepherds. Or maybe you need to confess struggles and sins that you may have. We'd encourage you to do that because I want all of us to leave here renewed and joyed today with joy in our hearts, knowing that our God, our Father, is the King of heaven and earth. Our Father is the King. Now think about that. He's the King, and He is in control, and that He blesses His children. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.